want to welcome everyone to Scott Parker Ministries.
Well, I want to thank every person for tuning into the broadcast today. I am titling this podcast, Stay Upon Your God. Father, I just pray that you strengthen all the listeners out there in their inward man by your Spirit with divine ability and might. I pray you grant them all a spirit of grace. Father, I thank you, Father, for keeping every person out there by your power and upholding them by the right hand of your righteousness. All right, let's get started. Go ahead and turn to Matthew 5:48. Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Hebrews 6:1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God. I'm not going to list out the whole foundation here. But what I wanted you to see was where to go on to perfection. And you go on after you get the foundation. And if you can apply yourself to do this, and also know at the same time you're good with God, you're accepted in the beloved, you're not going to be someday. All right? You know, Ephesians 1:6 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, when he hath made us accepted in the beloved. And we know Romans 3:22 says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all, upon all them that believe, there is no difference. So we're in right standing with God by our faith in Christ. We're accepted in the beloved. We're not going on to perfection in hopes of being right with God someday. Okay? We're already in right standing with Him. Okay? So our attitude should be, we're pressing on to perfection, to go into a better way of life, a fuller life, an abundant life, and to be overcomers. All right? And this is exactly what the Word of God teaches. God leads us down a path of correction. And all the things God leads us through is to deal with our heart so He can bring us to the place where we have heaven and earth. You know, I'm going to tell you something, folks. There's a lot of people who have lots of money, and they're not happy because some of them are physically sick. There are people who have lots of money and good health, but they're not happy because they have mental issues. They're tormented, or they have no peace. They're depressed in various reasons. But I can show you many scriptures that God, I can show you many scriptures that bring out how God will make us physically, mentally healthy, financially prosperous, give us joy and peace, happiness, and we can attain all the blessings of God as we're transformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? People that don't follow God, nothing but misery and destruction are in their way. So even though we have to walk through some things that are hard, we have to go through correction, we go through things we don't always like, the Christian life, there's nothing better in the earth. You know, and we have an example of God leading his people out of Egypt and then through the wilderness, and then he took them into the land of Canaan. And there's great lessons to be learned as you study what God walked the children of Israel through, because they are written, these things were written aforetime for our learning. All right? And, you know, God brought those people into the promised land. They were an example to us how what God wants to do for us. And as we learn all the lessons of how God led the children of Israel through the wilderness into the land of promise, then we'll see what God has for all of us. You know, I've been considering lately about how ministers are always trying to put fear on people. to get them to turn from sin. And I was thinking about, you know, you can put that on people, cause them to turn to God and try not to sin, but we can't save ourselves. And it's by the faith of God we overcome sin and evil spirit. You know, Proverbs 16:6 says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. And we cannot purge sin out of us. It's God's mercy and truth that does that. But we can, you know, we can make an effort not to yield or to commit acts of sin, but that alone will not cause us to overcome. It's through faith we overcome. See, and that's what I was considering. I said, well, you know, they're always saying, you know, we got to teach the fear of God. We got to scare people. We got to tell them to quit sin and all that. But you know what else you need to minister? Faith. You have to minister faith to them. Look at how the apostles ministered. Acts 20:21. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks. Repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. See, to overcome sin, it takes faith. And we're not going to have any confidence towards God when a minister is always trying to pin some sin on you instead of tell you how to overcome sin by faith. Because it's through faith and love we overcome. You see that? You see, and I was talking about going through the wilderness. As you go through the wilderness, you'll be humble, you'll be corrected, but you'll also get your faith perfected out in the wilderness. See? You'll be transformed out in the wilderness. Turn to Galatians 5:6. For Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth, this word availeth means to prevail or overcome. So neither circumcision will cause us to prevail or overcome anything, nor uncircumcision. But what does cause us to prevail? But faith which worketh by love. Saying almost the same thing in the next chapter in the 15th verse, Galatians 6:15. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth, same Greek word, prevail, overcome, anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Now we read that in the 6th chapter, 5th verse, faith which worketh by love. And then it says, but a new creature. We overcome by faith and love. We overcome as a new creature in Christ. And if you put those together, you'll see new creature in Christ walks by faith and love. Why? That's his nature. 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. See, you can be ministers all my life that sat there and told people about their sins. Try to put fear on them. Told them to repent. Well, that's fine, but you better minister faith to them. You better minister faith, and don't condemn them. So there's a difference between conviction and condemnation. Hebrews 6:11. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance unto the hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. So after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. You know, I heard preachers preach against sin, and just tell the people to stop sinning, and didn't teach them to overcome sin with faith. And then I've heard preachers talk about faith, but it was always just to get something from God, not to overcome the sin nature and to come into the walk of the Spirit. See, and you know, we naturally have more interest in getting the blessing than being corrected. But being corrected gets the blessing. You know, Jeremiah 5:25 says, your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. I rarely hear a minister talk about using their faith to deal with sin. And then as you overcome your sin, you get the blessing. They either talk about getting the blessing, or they talk about, you know, you need to quit sinning. You need to repent. You know, and it blessed me. I think it's almost been 2 years now where God gave me a revelation that godly sorrow worketh repentance, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. And I said, oh my God, there's two different ways you can bring people to repentance. A godly sorrow, or you can try to bring them to repentance by worldly sorrow. Worldly sorrow, work of death. All right? what is worldly sorrow? Well, the world's sorry because they're guilty about their sin. That's what makes them sorrowful. But it doesn't bring them to repentance. But godly sorrow does. Now, I want to say this. I'm going to shift gears a little bit. Those of you that have listened to me know how, you know, I taught repentance from dead works. That's the foundation. And about denying yourself, taking up the cross, and following Jesus. But I've also taught, and it's important you teach it to ministers and people, we're free to do all things. See? And both are scriptural. Remember that. Denying yourself, repenting from dead works, denying yourself, and taking up the cross is true. But so is you being free to do all things. All right? Don't forget that. You know, and one of the methods of the devil is to bind you up and make you think you can't do anything you enjoy because you wouldn't be denying yourself and taking up the cross and following Jesus. But that's just not true. All right? You know, I watched a movie last night and I enjoyed it. And you know, I deny myself. I follow the Lord. I'm also free to do all things. See, God says you're free to do anything. Let's read that. 1 Corinthians 10:23, New Life Version. We are allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for us to do. We're allowed to do anything, but not all things help us grow strong as Christians. Saying almost the same thing, 1 Corinthians 6:12, New Living Translation. You say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. And even though I'm allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. And, you know, the King James uses in this scripture says, here it says, don't become a slave to anything. That's the New Living Translation. King James says, don't be brought under the power of it. And you know, there's evil spirits that will bring you under their control by you yielding to sin in your members. But also these evil spirits will bring you under their control by making you think it's wrong to do things you enjoy. See, they'll be saying, thou shalt not. And see, this is what people don't understand. These spirits, if it's an evil spirit trying to stop you from doing something and you yield to that, you're brought under the control of that spirit. And he's taking the word of God and twisting. Yeah, oh, can't go do that, can't do that, can't do that. If that's the devil ministering to you, you're brought under its control if you yield to that. So we're going to have to, you know, we need to grow up spiritually and learn to walk in the Spirit in everything we do. So you can learn when the Spirit of God is leading you and when the Spirit of God is leading you not to do it. Likewise, we've got to grow up spiritually and know when it's the devil trying to stop us from doing things and bind us up where we can't go do this or we can't go do that or we can't do here. Okay? So, like I said, we need to grow up spiritually, walk where we can walk, but know this, we're free to do all things and God will lead and God will lead you to do things you enjoy just like he will lead you to deny yourself, take up the cross. All right. So, you know, if the devil can't stop you from dedicating your life to God, then he'll come at you another way and try to bind you up and make it miserable trying to follow God. You know, John 10:10 said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. All right? God, the Lord wants us to have abundant life. All right? Philippians 2:12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, the first thing we need to see in the scripture is God is talking to his beloved. So his beloved needs, there's an ongoing salvation with his beloved. His beloved. So, you know, wherefore, my beloved, my loved one. And God is telling you, he's telling his beloved, his loved ones, to work out their own salvation. Not work for their salvation, but bring it to completion. Now, this scripture tells us how to bring our salvation to completion. By obeying. And if you go back a few scriptures, you'll see what we are to obey. Verse 8. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, this is talking about Jesus dying on the cross, which is the gospel. So we work out our salvation by being obedient. And our obedience, in the context of these scriptures, is to obey the gospel. See, so go back and read from 8 to 13. Keep going back over that. You'll see you've obeyed. And he's talking about obeying the gospel. Now, how do we obey the gospel. Hold your place there and go to Romans 10:16. But they've not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, whose believed our report? There it is. They've not obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, whose believed our report? Isaiah is Isaiah. And Romans 16 is referring to Isaiah 53:1. Turn there. Isaiah 53:1. Whose believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Okay. So, as you read the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, you'll see it's talking about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, obeying the gospel is believing the report of the gospel. It's believing the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you get God working in you. Now, let's turn to Acts 8:30. Let's see how Philip confirmed that Isaiah 53 was talking about Jesus. Verse 30, Philip ran thither to him, and he heard him read Isaiah, and said, understand thou what thou readest? And this talk about he ran up to this eunuch sitting in the chariot. And he said, how can I, some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him in the chariot. And the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, Isaiah 53. And like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so he opened not his mouth. In his humility, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth. Now, if you go read Isaiah 53, these passages I just read are in there. And the eunuch answered Philip, said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? Was Isaiah talking about himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth, began at the same scripture, Isaiah 53, and preached unto him Jesus. So right here in the New Testament, it proves Isaiah 53 is speaking about Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You know, it's written all through the Psalms, the prophets, and the law about the coming of the Just One, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who will deliver us, who will deliver his people from their sins. Now go back to Philippians 2:12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed the gospel, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, did you notice here it tells us how to get the Spirit of God working in us? God works in us as we're obedient to the gospel. And look what God is doing on the inside of us as we believe the gospel. He is working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. See? And God works in us. He's working in us to make us willing and cause us to do his will. Okay? This is a wonderful truth. Let's read that 213 International Standard Version. For it is God who is producing in you both the desire and the ability to do what pleases him. Let's go ahead and put a song here. Let's do Shadow of His Wings by Pamela Pontiac. Now turn to Philippians 1:6, Christian Standard Bible. I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion to the day of Jesus Christ. So what is the good work God's doing? Ephesians 2:10. And if you go back to two verses, it's talking about we're saved by grace through faith. Now look what that salvation does. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God's working in us. He started a good work in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in. God is working in us to make a new creature out of us. That's being created in Christ Jesus. And that's what it's saying here. We are his workmanship, being created in Christ Jesus. And it's an ongoing work of grace that makes us a new creature in Christ. And this new creature in Christ desires the things of God and is willing to do God's will. Anytime you don't want to do God's will, you know you still got some old man in you. You know, because that's written in the 7th chapter, that which I would do, I do not. Because it's that sin in you. It's the old man still in you. It's in the way. So you got to get rid of some more old man. You got to get some more of the new man formed. All right? And we saw here, to keep this process of being a new creature in Christ, we have to keep believing the gospel. Okay? And you know, I used to not like to speak about verse 13 where it says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, because I thought it tore down the other scriptures about there's no condemnation of those who are in Christ who walk after the Spirit. You know, and I knew it was true, but I said, I don't think I understand it yet, because it should work in line with the other scriptures. And this is what I believe, this is what I believe I'm getting understanding. I believe the reason it's saying work out your salvation with fear and trembling is because there will be a people who will fall away from the faith when things get hard. You know, because their hearts will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. We can see that in Hebrews 3:13. And God's saying, beloved, work out your salvation. My loved ones, work out your salvation. Let God get this sin out of you so you don't depart from the faith when you're going through the fiery trials, especially the harder and harder it gets, like in the beginning of the sorrows. See, that's where we see the great falling away. I believe that in that time frame of the beginning of sorrows, it's going to, the intensity of the trials is going to get harder and harder. Okay? But you see, God's telling us ahead of time what to do. See, the more you get set free and the more you endure hardship going through the trying of faith, then you'll become more established in the faith. And, you know, like I said, we know there's coming a great falling away from the faith just prior to the man of sin being revealed. So, but you know, believe the gospel, walk in the word of God, and God will get your heart prepared so that doesn't happen, so you don't fall away. See, you know, God warns us of things to come, then he tells us how to get prepared so we'll be okay when it comes. See? And people that don't obey the word of God, when the storm comes, we see that 7th chapter of Matthew, their house or their life falls apart because it wasn't built upon the rock. See? So the word of God teaches us, walk in obedience and you'll be okay in the days to come. You know, I also want to encourage some of you out there that you've been going through things and your heart is sad because you haven't got the promises yet. You don't feel like you've made more progress spiritually. And my heart was feeling that way the other day. You know, Proverbs 13:12, I'll read the Common English Bible, it says, hope delayed maketh the heart sick. Longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Let me read that in the contemporary English version. Not getting what you want can break your heart, but a wish that comes true is a life-giving tree. Now, I want to exhort fellow believers. Have you ever had your heart sick because you follow God, but you still have wants, or you have some unhappiness in your life, you got some sadness, and you just get so tired of it and you want to give up or you're tired of persevering. Sometimes you think, you know, like, where are you, God? I can't even tell you're with me, God. We have to learn, don't go by our feelings. Even though they're very real, they're sad. I mean, it makes us feel bad. But that doesn't mean that we're not overcoming. That doesn't mean, just because you're sad, just because you don't feel good, you're experiencing unhappiness, doesn't mean, because that's part of walking through some of this stuff, even as you're overcoming and being transformed, you're going to experience some sadness. I think I forgot that word is. It said, the world shall rejoice, but you shall be sad. But it said, your sadness shall be turned into joy. And it's talking, it's talking about when you're being transformed. It said, when a woman have travail, she have sorrow. But when the child is born, she forgets the sorrow she went through. Go look that up. I didn't put these scriptures down on my this week's podcast. But her sorrows turn into joy when the child is born. And what it's talking about is when, as we're going through the transformation process, there will be sadness. There will be sorrow while God's breaking your heart, while God is forming your heart, while God's recreating you, making a new creature. There's some sadness. But when once you get through this, you'll have joy, and no man will be able to take away your joy. Okay? So, just because you feel bad doesn't mean things aren't working. All right? Don't go by your feelings. Keep believing God. Turn to Isaiah 50:10. Who among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and have no light, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Now, this is not talking about a person not following God when it says walk up in darkness. Because it says this person feared the Lord. What it's talking about here is you don't have any light right now. You don't know what's going on. You may feel like God is not even with you. You can't seem to get anything working, or you can't tell it's working. Your heart hurts. And you think, where are you, God? I need you. We're instructed right here, just stay upon God and trust God. See, it starts off. It says, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Now, turn to 2 Peter 1:19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Now, that tells you right there where the dark place is. See, I want to exhort you. I want to comfort you. Keep putting the word of God in your heart till the light shineth in a dark place. And that dark place is your heart. That's what it was saying right there. But your heart's going to be illuminated when the day star rises in your heart. That's Jesus. And the more sure word of prophecy is the words of the New Testament. If you read all that in context, the words of the New Testament are more sure than the spiritual experience that Peter, James, and John had watching Jesus be transfigured before them and hearing God the Father speak out of a cloud. That's what it was talking about. Peter, James, and John were Jesus took them up on the mount. He was transfigured before them. God the Father spoke out of a cloud. And then Peter turned right around and said, we have a more sure word of prophecy than that. And that really happened. That was really God the Father speaking out of the cloud. That was really the Lord Jesus Christ that was transfigured before him. That spiritual experience that they had was the real deal, folks. And Peter said, see, so even if you've never experienced any spiritual experience, you've got the Word of God. And it's more sure than if you had that kind of a spiritual experience. So, you know, you hear about people going through this spiritual experience and that and everything. Oh, well, if I just experienced that, I would really have something to hold on to. Well, you've got something even more strong to hold on to, the Word of God. And that's what God's saying to you. His Word is more sure than anything. Okay, now turn to Hebrews 10:35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense and reward. For ye have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For ye a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now, we're instructed to not cast away our confidence. And after, you know, and let me tell you something. When you're going through hard things and you haven't got the promise, that's what you want to do, is cast away your confidence. You are tempted to cast away your confidence. And if you read a few scriptures for that, it talks about how, you know, how you went through a great fight of affliction. before you're illuminated. So that's what it's talking about. You go through some hard things. Don't cast away your confidence. Keep believing. If you can just get this in your heart, that just because you feel bad doesn't mean things aren't working. Just because you got sorrow doesn't mean it's not working. Sadness and sorrow will be there as you're being transformed. But your sorrow will be turned into joy. Okay? See, if you can get a hold of that, I wish I had put that scripture in there. Go look it up. I don't know where it is now. But part of being transformed, there will be sadness and sorrow. So stay upon your God. Keep believing. You have need of patience. Keep doing the will of God, and the Lord will come, and you'll get the promise. Turn to Isaiah 43. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I've redeemed thee. I've called thee by thy name, thou art mine. All right. He says, thou art mine. And he's talking to his people in the new covenant, too. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, we belong to God. So it says, thou art mine. So we belong to God. Does that mean we don't have to go through anything that's hard? No. Read the next verse. When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. See, he's talking to those that belong to God. They're going through some hard things to be transformed. But I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou was precious in my sight, and thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. And look at that. He walking you through those things, and he said, I've loved thee. Have you ever felt like God didn't love you when you walked through those things? When you had sadness and sorrow, and you were tempted to cast away your confidence because you didn't know where God was, you didn't think God loved you? This is why we got to get to know the Word of God. We have to understand some of these things. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. So, here again, God says, we're precious to the sight, and he's walking us through hard things. Fear not, verse 5, fear not, I'm with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, gather thee from the west. You know, I wanted God to transform me, but I didn't want to walk through any of these things. But I saw that I had to. See, and you have to. You got to walk through these things. So, hang on to the Lord. Look what Jesus said to Peter. Turn to Luke 22:31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, the old Satan had the desire to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now, some of these translators make it sound like when you're converted, when you come back to me, and it's talking about how Peter denied the Lord and came back to him. Okay, well, that could apply also, that converted come back. But I'm telling you, conversion is to go from the flesh to the spirit. Conversion is to go from doubt and unbelief to walking in faith. And if you look at where the devil comes after you and you resist him steadfast in the faith, you're perfected, established, strengthened, and settled. So if you take more scriptures and put them all together, you'll see, you'll get a better picture of what converted is. See, it's being turned in your heart, not just your outward action. And so as the devil's coming after you, we're converted. And let me tell you this, something about when the devil's coming, it can be dark. And you can get in doubt and fear. And you have to learn not to go by your feelings. Just go by what the Word of God says. That's why you need to understand what the Word of God says. All right? So, I want to encourage every one of you out there, if you're in a dark place right now, you don't have any light, hang on to the Word of God. Believe it. Don't go by your feelings. All right? James 1:2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. See, temptations are the sufferings of Christ. You know, and it says, rejoice inasmuch as you're partakers of the sufferings of Christ. And I just read to you about you resisting the devil steadfast in the faith when he's coming against you. That's a temptation. You're perfected, established, strengthened, and settled. That's, I think, 1st or 2nd Peter 5, 8 through 10. Anyway, here, back to James 1, 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith work of patience. Now, remember, you know, I said, how the devil wants to tell you can't do anything you enjoy. Because let me tell you something, when you're going through this stuff, then the devil, he'll make you sad, and then he'll try to make you think you're sinning if you go do something you enjoy. Sometimes you got to go do something you enjoy just to get through some of this stuff. Sometimes you think, oh man, I need to go, you know, listen to a song I used to like or watch a movie or do something I enjoy because I can't handle any more of this right now. But then the devil try to cut you off from that. Oh, you're not denying yourself. See, I'm telling you, the devil, he's trying to stop you from getting through this stuff. So anyway, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this is trying to your faith, work of patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Let's read verse 4 in the New Living Translation. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect, complete, needing nothing. Let's see what time it is. Oh, perfect. So, I just want to encourage every person out there. Are you in a dark place? Do you have sadness and sorrow? And you've been following God and you just don't understand what's going on? Well, you know, Jesus said if you fall on this rock, you'll be broken. And, you know, God said, cannot I do with you as this potter? And when God's dealing with your life, when he's shaping and forming your heart, when he's breaking your heart so he can remake it, there's some sadness. There's some sorrow. And so don't be discouraged. You know, the thing you need to do is say, am I making an effort to abide in Christ? Okay, well then God's with me. Am I taking the word of God out and applying it in my life? I don't care how well you're doing. The more you're converted, the more you're transformed, the better you'll be able to walk in faith, the better you'll be able to follow God. And your heart's all messed up. You don't follow God very well. See, but God looks upon the heart. He looks at it, are you making effort? And so if you're making effort, then you're okay with God. And then you just walk with him, and you're going to have some times, so you're going to walk through some things that cause sadness. I'm going to tell you something. I've had for years that I've experienced sorrow in my heart, hurt in my heart. And I'm more and more convinced every day that was part of the breaking in my heart, the part of shaping my heart. And so I don't let it get to me. I just hold on to the word of God. So, Father, I just give thanks for all the listeners out there. I give thanks for every person out there. I pray you strengthen them in their inward man by your spirit with divine ability and might. I pray you grant grace to all your people, Father, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, for keeping them by your power and upholding them by the right hand of your righteousness. That's all I've got for today. Everybody have a great day. God bless.
We are so glad you could join us today. We want to invite you to visit us at scottparkeronline.com. There you will find teachings, exhortations, testimonies, and ministry and music. We also have a blog on the end times. Everybody have a great day.